Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan. I bet that out there somewhere, either you own one, you've seen one, you've watched it demoed at a show, a die cut machine. Everybody talks about them. You might even have one sitting around that you haven't used yet, or maybe you're an avid user of a die-cut machine. I think that they're incredibly interesting tools, new things for us to make our quilting go faster. And Ebony Love of Love Bug Studios is an expert on die-cut machines, and so I thought it'd be great to have her come on and give us a little bit of background on them and some tips and pointers. So hi, Ebony. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm doing really great. I'm so excited to be here and talk with you today.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad to have you on here. I have this really strong feeling that you and I are going to have to talk again, that we are not going to have enough time.
Yeah, I get that feeling too, but there will be plenty of time to reconnect.
Now, you're not only a person who loves die cuts, you're in the business as a designer, you're an author, you've self-published your own book, and you're also a long-arm quilter. At what point did you add die cut machines to your toolbox?
Well, I've been quilting probably about for 10 or 12 years now, and I added die cutting to my arsenal of tools about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I have an engineering background, so I'm always looking for ways to sort of improve the way that I do things. And when you're quilting, especially when you're making really big quilts, you tend to cut the same pieces over and over again. And I was just looking for a way to do that really easily. And it actually started for me with circles, because if you've ever had to cut out circles by hand, mm-hmm. you know that that's just really tedious and tiresome, and they're never quite perfect. So I just was looking around on the internet and came across this revolutionary kind of process called die cutting, and I started immediately sucking in as much information as I could and brought a die cutter into my studio. But at the time, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so, you know, when you did this, did you go out and test the machines to know, or were you just sort of researching it online and then just picked one?
No, I'm pretty notorious for just, if I see something that looks cool, I'll just get it. Mm-hmm. And I actually, when I first got a die cutter, I actually ordered a custom die before I purchased the machine. And it was really just sight unseen. I read enough information. I called the company, and it was AccuQuilt. And I called the company and talked to their customer service folks, and ordered a machine and ordered the die, and I was on my way.
Oh my gosh! Now, what custom die did you have to have that you bought an entire machine to have this one die?
For that one die, it was actually and I tell the story in one of my books, but mm-hmm. it was actually a 5-inch circle with a pinked edge, and oh. I was hand cutting these out of felt and then using a pair of pinking shears to cut them to get the pinked edge. And if you've ever used a pair of pinking shears, you know that after about a minute and a half, you're screaming uncle. So that's what really was worth it to me, because I just really hated cutting out those circles.
Now, one of the great things, Ebony, that you have done for us quilters is produce some videos. You have some videos you can get to from your site, lovebugstudios.com. But you sort of have an interesting story about why you started the videos. Would you share that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I never thought I would end up doing a video for anything. I don't like taking pictures. I don't like being the subject of photos. So videos was just kind of never going to happen in my head. But AccuQuilt used to have this program where, because die cutting was pretty new, so as they were introducing it, they were trying to find ways to sort of get people interested in die cutting. So they would invite people to create like 5-minute videos about die cutting. And at the time, they were doing like a gift certificate. If you posted a video, they'd do a gift certificate. And there was a really expensive die set that I wanted. It was an alphabet set for my machine. And I got this crazy idea that I could create these. I did this 30 videos in 30 days challenge. I sort of challenged myself to create that many videos so that I could get this alphabet set. And my first videos, they're actually still up on my website, are just, they're really awful. I did them with a digital camera, and I only had a little SD card, and it would only hold like 2 minutes of video. So those first videos are really awful. But at the end of the day, I just, I got hooked on making videos. I was getting really good feedback from people, and I said, yeah, do more videos. So eventually I did get the alphabet set from AccuQuilt, and I just kept making videos. I have upgraded my equipment quite a bit now.
Okay.
So the more recent videos are a lot more, they have a higher production value, I would say.
Well, you know, you learn as you go, right? You have to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
Well, why don't we first talk a little bit about some of the top things people should look at about die cut machines, because there are several different companies out there. It can be confusing. People think, oh my gosh, I just, you know, is it faster than cutting strips with a ruler and a rotary cutter? You know, what are some of maybe like the top three things that people should look at when they're thinking about a die cut machine?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are so many more options out there than I think there were when I first started die cutting. So I think the first thing is just know what type of quilter you are, because there are so many varieties of machines that are out there. And, I think there's something out there for everyone. Literally, there's so many choices, but you kind of have to know what type of projects you want to make. Are you more of an applique type quilter? Are you more of a piecer? Do you like to do more traditional, patterns with squares and rectangles? Or do you want to try curves? So just kind of thinking, getting in tune with what type of a quilter you are, and that's going to help you narrow down the machines that you're looking at. And in my book, I actually wrote a book called The Big Little Book of Fabric Die Cutting Tips. I actually review the top five, or the five most popular fabric die cutting machines that are out there on the market today, to sort of give people an idea of how to sort of compare, make those comparisons between machines and really hone in on which machine is right for them. And it could be more than one machine. I think at this point I have 6 or 7 different die cutters. Now, I'm sort of a little bit in a unique situation since I'm an educator, so I need to sort of know what I'm talking about. But but sometimes there are cases where, you know, one machine doesn't have all the features you need, and you might need to get get another one as a supplement.
And your book is fabulous. People should really check that out if they're interested. You have so many good tips and things to look for. If somebody's never used these die cut machines, are they difficult to get the hang of?
Not really, but it's like with anything. People don't remember the learning curve that they had when they started rotary cutting. There are just little tips and techniques to, how to hold the rotary cutter, how to hold the ruler, how you get your grip on the ruler, how often to change your blades, those types of things, how to fold your fabric, so that you can, cut it efficiently. And those same types of things apply to die cutting. You know, certainly you can, in an ideal world, you would just unbox the machine and take it out and just roll the die through and, ta-da!
Yeah.
Everything would be perfect, and they are easy to use. But what I like to tell people is remember that there's a learning curve to everything that you do. So if there's something that, that happens, don't use your $75 a yard antique lace, as your first cut. Just take the time to get to know the machine a little bit and learn how to use it, and just allow yourself to enjoy that learning process.
I think that's a very excellent point, is that we didn't know how to use all the tools. I mean, people didn't know how to use their sewing machine. At some point, they had to learn whether they were 5 years old by their mom or whether they were 55 and had never used one. You know, still have to give yourself the time to learn the tool.
Yes, exactly. So many people say, oh, you know, fabric die cutting, it's wasteful. You know, I'm not getting clean cuts. They freak out because the mats get etched and, you know, scratched right away. And all of those things are, you know, I think 99% of the time it's the user and not the machine and not the guy.
To put it all together. Now, I want to get in before we end, because I know you're going to come back now, because, you know, we're almost out of time. So tell me about your books. You know, just what do you have and what, you know, the variety of them.
Yeah, so I have two books out right now. The first one I mentioned, The Big Little Book of Fabric Die Cutting Tips. It covers the top five die cutting machines, and there's very little time in the book kind of focused on the machines. The rest of the book, it's a massive book, it's about 260 pages, is all about how to make the most of your mats and your machines and your dies and which items are interchangeable and all of those things. Yeah. The second book is a companion. It's a sketchbook, so it's got some sort of condensed tips in there, but there's places for notes and there's some graph paper in there and there's some really cute little sketches. So they kind of go together. The smaller sketchbook is great to take to classes because it kind of slips into your little project bag, and it's got more places to take notes. But I think they're both really great. The Big Little Book is just a great reference to have just next to the die cutter.
And they can get these from you at lovebugstudios.com. Do your quilt shop sell them also?
Yeah, you know, the book's only been out for a couple of months, so I'm just starting to get into the distribution channels. But Brewer picked up the book. I'm working with United Notions as well to get
super.
The book listed.
Well, Ebony, this has been absolutely amazing. Will you come back and talk more?
Absolutely, I will. I can't believe how fast the time flies.
I know. Everybody visit Ebony Love, lovebugstudios.com, and we'll be right back after this break with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything. And we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
We'll be right back. quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have to tell you, my next guest is Betts White, and I first saw her work quite a few years ago when she was using like sweaters and repurposing, recycling them into absolutely incredibly adorable projects. I mean, they just like were all the rage, and I've been following her work ever since. She has done many, many patterns, lots of projects, fabrics, books. And so I thought it'd be great to have her come on, talk about some of the new things she's doing, talk a little bit of techniques with us. So welcome to the show, Betts.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. So this is really, really great. I just love what you do because everything is so this sounds really strange, but so doable. You know, you don't make things hard. Everything is easy that you put out. You look at it and it's like, wow, I could do that. Makes me want to do it.
Right. Well, I think one of the hardest things is making something easy, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, I think that's what it is. You're very good at that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. It takes a lot of work to really refine something to the point where, not only looks good and it looks unique, but it's also something that, you do feel is achievable. So that's my goal.
Well, when you started out, when I saw the things that, that I talked about that were taking sort of repurposing, you've moved past that into other things, but do you still like to go and find and incorporate repurposed items?
I do. I mean, you're right. My whole, focus on felted wool sweaters, I still love them, but I've sort of evolved out of that. And I'll always have that love, but I do like to do a lot of different things. So, I'm still attracted to the wool sweaters at the thrift store.
Yeah.
but I always joke that my attic is insulated with wool sweaters because I have this little access to the eaves and there's a lot of sweaters in there. But I do seek out a lot of other things. Like, I love vintage sheets and pillowcases. And I guess I just really I look for color and pattern and I guess quality, too. There's something about, looking at a long expanse of, racks in a thrift store and just sort of, going down the aisle and just, seeing the gems that pop out of all the other stuff that's there. So that's what I like to do.
Now, one of the new things you've been doing is a new series of patterns. And one of them is it's got pillows on it that have all kinds of absolutely fantastic texturization. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing there?
Sure. That pattern's called the Pleated Pillow Trio. And there's basically three shapes of pillows. There's a round one, a square one, and a rectangular one. And basically what I was doing with those patterns is experimenting with kind of an origami type style, folding and pleating and tucking. Mm-hmm. And I just really like, the texture that achieved. So I had a lot of jelly roll quilt strips, and I was playing with those. And honestly, one of the things that I don't like about sewing is cutting.
Oh, no.
I really actually like the strip, but I was trying to come up with something different to do with them. So, they're already cut, they're already measured, so you don't have to worry about that. And I'm kind of rotary cutter challenged, so it's really nice to have that done. But so I came up with, a couple techniques of folding them. And it's funny because just around the time that I was playing with this, my sons happened to be into origami. And there's this website where it's kind of a math website, but this woman named Vi Hart does all these things called hexaflexograms. And it's taking these long strips of paper and folding them into little triangles. And anyway, you got to Google search.
Yeah.
Hexaflexogram. But anyway, it was just funny because I was playing with these strips kind of at the same time and coming up with different pleating techniques
And anyway, that's what creates the texture on these pillows.
Oh, so what can you describe one of them to us? You know, maybe walk us through what you are doing with like one of the strips to create the texture.
Sure. So I'm taking two strips and sewing them together, and I'll tell you a little bit about my little trick technique mm-hmm. on that in a minute. But okay. The folding technique, basically in the pattern, I include a template that's just a guide for sort of aligning your fold. So you have this double-sided strip. It's two strips sewn together, and I chose two different prints. And so it's sewn and turned. And so you have one print on one side and a different print on the other side. And then as you lay the pillow or the strip down, you fold it at 45-degree angles, this way and that, following the little template. And it makes sort of like a waterfall of pleats. And then you stitch them down the middle, and it creates sort of not really ruffled. I guess it's just hard to explain.
Right, right.
But it adds a lot of texture.
Oh, I just love it because there's so many ways that we can use our fabric, and we all have fabric. So
right.
Right.
It's always
fun to
share scraps too.
Yes, scraps. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Discussions on scraps. That's always,
right.
Everybody always wants to know what to do with them. Now, you're using both machine sewing on this and hand sewing, or is it just machine sewing?
Well, it's mostly machine, and then one of the pillow styles, the rectangular one, has some hand embroidery. I guess it's more like just taking some little tuck stitches with embroidery floss. So it kind of creates like a smocking effect.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sewing the strips in as pleats, and then you're sort of tugging them this way and that with these little stitches.
Ah, neat. I just think that they're glorious. You know, they're so pretty and so fun to try something a little bit different, and it's not a huge, big project. So
Right.
Very,
so do you want to hear my special technique?
Yes.
For pressing it. Okay, so you know when you make like a strap for a purse, or in this case, these strips that are two quilt strips sewn and turned, that it's really hard to press those seams and get like the full width of the piece because that little seam wants to sort of cave in.
Mm-hmm.
So so this isn't really rocket science, but it's a little trick I learned. So okay, imagine you have two long strips and you put the right sides together and you sew down the long side of one side, and then you press that open, and then you know back on itself. So you're getting like a really nice crisp edge on one of those seams, and then you go back to your machine and you put the right sides together again, and you stitch down the other side, and then you use a bodkin or you know a chopstick or whatever your favorite technique is for turning it right side out. And then, so now you have one seam that's pressed pretty good that you pressed, you know, midway through your process. So that one's going to be pretty good. And then the other one that you just sewed, that one is where you use my little trick. And what I do is I get a flat wood paint stick, like they give you at Home Depot when you buy paint, or you could use a yardstick. And you just slide it inside the sewn strip or your strap.
Mm-hmm.
And you use it like a little mini ironing board. So basically you center that unpressed seam on the little paint stick. And then you iron on that. And so that way you can like press just that seam.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you press that and then you take the stick out and you manipulate the strip so that the seams are on the sides again. And then when you press it, it's perfect.
It's perfect. I just think even the first part of that, Betts, was perfect. I mean, I never thought about pressing that first seam open, you know, basically folding it over so that it's smooth before you did the second one. You know, I'm always dealing with two, you know, weird things to iron, not just one.
Well, you could do the paint stick trick on the two seams, but if you stop in between, you know, it's an extra trip to the ironing board, but, you know, it depends. Depends how picky you are, I guess. So.
Yeah. Well, those are really, really good. I like it.
Good.
Now you love designing. What is it about it that you love?
I don't know. I just love making things, and I like sharing ideas, and I've really always been a designer. Growing up, my mom always did crafts, and I was always right there making stuff with her. Mm-hmm. And even my dad was very more utilitarian, crafty. But like one year, mm-hmm. he made down jackets for the entire family.
Oh wow!
I don't know if you remember frost line kits, but it was a thing in the 70s. But mm-hmm. Just people. My family, my brothers had a dark room in the basement. It's just something that was always around me. And then I went to school for apparel design and worked in the children's apparel industry for a while as a designer. So it's just what I am. it's just my thing, I guess.
Yeah. And, I think that your attention to detail probably comes a lot from that training also, because you're very, mm-hmm. Just going in there, making all those creases. I mean, it makes your finished product look so much nicer.
Right. Well, I'm kind of a perfectionist, which is also can be detrimental too. It can be kind of paralyzing, but I try to move beyond that. So,
well, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a lot of fun.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate being on here, and I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Everybody go visit Betz at BETZWHITE.com. We'll be right back after this little break.
Okay, thanks.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts & More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I am your host, Pat Sloan. If you haven't yet met Weeks Ringel and Bill Kerr of the Modern Quilt Studio, then you are in for a great half a show. I am so excited. They were on our show a little while ago, last year or so, and we didn't have enough time. So they're back again, and they have been making beautiful modern quilts with what I think is a unique vision, because they started doing the type of quilts they're doing back in 1999, when not a lot of people were working this way. They're a husband and wife design team, and they work their studio out of their home, and a lot of other things. They're authors, designers, fabric, you name it, they have it. And we're going to find out all about it and talk a little bit about this style of quilting that they do. So, Weeks, Bill,
yes.
How are you?
Hi, Pat.
We're well,
hi. I am so, so, so happy to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're big fans of yours, too.
Weeks, you and I have known each other for quite a few years. When we did a creative event with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, we were right next to each other.
I know, and I remember thinking that I was so delighted that I met you, and that I was really hoping that our paths would cross frequently.
Oh, that's so nice. They have. Maybe Weeks, you could start out and tell us, and Bill, jump in. Tell us a little bit about how the two of you decided to start a business together making quilts.
Well, we had just recently gotten married. I guess we had gotten married about 3 years before. And we really wanted to be able to work together. We met working together, and we both had master's degrees in design and in different fields. And we were making quilts as a hobby, and we really wanted a more family-friendly, marriage-friendly life. Mm-hmm. But we also were really intrigued by the fact that we were making modern quilts. I started making my first modern quilt in 1987, and that nobody else was doing that. And we wondered whether there was a business opportunity and doing something that nobody else was doing.
Mm-hmm. So, Bill, was it scary? I mean, besides just going to work with your spouse and starting a business? I mean, I work with my spouse, so, you know, I sort of...
You know, it's actually...
I know a little bit.
it's a blast. It was a little scary, but in general, we're both very adventurous. Mm-hmm. And I think what's scarier is doing the same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we just dove in just completely right away. And I think that we knew that our talents worked well together. We both love making things. And I think that the other thing that a lot of people don't talk about is that the creativity of making things is great, but the creativity of business is also fascinating, especially as a couple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, I can totally agree with that. It's like when you haven't done it before, you know, it's very creative to make your business work. That's
yeah, and it's the other thing that's nice is we were both in fields that were very high pressure, dealing with complex design problems that often took months or years to kind of wrap your head around. And there was something very satisfying about the immediacy of quilting and just the good-natured kind of people that it attracts. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, your coworker's nice too, right? Yeah.
You know, I think that the hardest thing, Pat, wasn't working together as a couple. It was kind of breaking through. We had no problem breaking through with modern quilting in the design world, where we were doing commission quilts mm-hmm. and kind of interior designers and that sort of thing, gallery owners. In the hobby quilt world, that was a harder nut to crack, definitely. And we hadn't expected to be in the hobby quilt world. So it's really, the world has changed a lot since 1999.
Yeah, yes, it has. And you guys have, I think, been some of the, you are the forerunners for what is going on right now with the type of quilts that are being made by people make all different kinds of quilts, but we're going to sort of focus on the type of quilts that people look at as modern, which may have been called contemporary, you know, 15 years ago. Now people look at them and say, oh, they're modern quilts, and they have a look and a feel, and they're a little bit different than a Civil War quilt. You know, you definitely see the difference. Both of you have a lot of thoughts on this because you're very involved with it. I don't know who wants to go first, but maybe Weeks, you could start out about your thoughts on sort of where things are going and how exciting it is for quilters to be working this way.
Well, it is a really historic time, I think, in quilt making. And, you know, everybody... Frequently people ask us about the definition of modern quilting, and we really, you know, even between the two of us, we have slightly different takes on it, mm-hmm. but to me, the difference between modern quilting and contemporary quilting is that modern quilting is not about, it's not based on traditional motifs, traditional forms, traditional patterns. It's based on new designs. Whereas to me, contemporary, and Bill, you know, has a different feeling about this, but to me, contemporary quilts are when somebody makes a log cabin out of a non-traditional fabric. Mm. That to me is contemporary because it's a traditional motif, a traditional pattern, but being made with contemporary fabric. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's not about, you know, whether it's asymmetrical or improvisational or, you know, negative space or any of that. It's about whether it's about the way of thinking, and mm-hmm. it's about whether you're trying to do something that's not that's forward thinking, that's mm-hmm. not based on, you know, what was done in the past, but is something different. Mm-hmm. So it's a really wide open field. I think we'd also add to that that we would include that it's functional. That it's different from art quilts, and that art quilts are not meant to go in the washing machine and on beds and that sort of thing. They're meant to stay on walls, and they're constructed in that way. So, you know, we make our quilts with the assumption that they can, even if it's a wall hanging or something, that it's going in the washing machine and it's going to be a part of something that's used every day in our lives. Mm-hmm. So that, you can see how that's a little bit different than contemporary quilts in that way. But, Bill, what do you want to...
I agree. I think modern quilting, what's really exciting about it to me is that it doesn't have to be strictly defined. I think the exciting thing about this time is not what's going on now, but what will go on next. That as teachers, we're trying to get people to have their own visions, and I'm not interested in teaching someone to replicate what I do. I'm interested in helping them find their own voice, and sometimes what they create may come under the guise of modern quilting, sometimes it may not, and I'm not so concerned about that. I love the evolution of the art form, and we happen to be in a time when there are, you know, we've been making modern quilts for, you know, 13, 14 years now. And yet our quilts will always evolve, and I hope that other people's do too. I think that we just have a critical mass right now that people understand this thing that we call modern quilting, because you need to call something by a name so people can begin to understand it, but it doesn't have to stay fixed. It can evolve.
And I think I'll just add to that, that I think that what we're really interested, what we're happiest at, like when we're teaching, sometimes just because, and you know this, I know, Pat, that if you're hired by a guild or you're hired by a show to teach a class, you know, the assumption is that there's a picture and everybody's going to make what's on the picture and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But truth be told, you know, when we're happiest is when we have a classroom full of students where nobody's project looks alike. Somebody's doing applique over there, and somebody's doing improvisational quilting, and somebody's doing very precise hand piecing, and, you know, that's when we feel like we're really helping people grow, and that's, to me, what modern quilting is it's everybody doing what they do best and exploring what's of interest to them and not feeling that they have to abide by certain conventions or preconceived notions as to, you know, what a quilt is supposed to look like.
And, some now that, you know, people are building like a base and then they're adding, like applique tends to not show up as much on the modern quilts right now, but there are a few people adding that in, which I find really exciting.
Yeah. We, in our Quilts Made Modern book, we intentionally had hand quilting as modern. And we also had two different applique quilts in there, one machine applique, one hand applique, that are definitively modern. And that point is something that I've really been trying to drive home. And in our magazine, we frequently have applique quilts because I think you're right, Pat. It doesn't show up in many people's skill set. Because I think a lot of people that are modern quilters are new quilters, and maybe they don't have those hand skills yet. But the veterans, you know, are starting to really come around and realize that there's a lot of opportunities. And you're a killer applicator, so I'm sure you could do some incredible modern quilts with applique. Maybe you
I got to put a bunny on there, you know, or a pumpkin. You know, I sort of got like that little folk art lean. You know, it's a little hard to get away from that. But, you know, I love everything.
But the porcupines are really hot now. You know, you need a porcupine. That would take you plenty of time, right?
That's an applique challenge.
Right. Well, before we do the break, why don't we just take the two of you just talk to me a little bit about how you start to develop a design together. I mean, is it together, or do you each sort of work on your own?
We both are constantly thinking of ideas. The biggest challenge, as you can imagine, is time, because we have a file of a couple hundred designs that we still haven't executed, but we've done, and it's because we're always sketching, and usually one of us has a nugget of an idea and sketches out a rough just line drawing and shows it to the other, and we really thrive thrive on collaboration. And I think by sketching and talking through what an idea is, we improve each other's ideas and kind of force each other to refine them. And by the time we make the quilt, we often forget. We know who started the idea, but it's so changed and transformed by the time it becomes a real quilt that that's, I think, the power of collaboration.
You know, I think our design training was really helpful in that we're accustomed to having formal criticism in an academic, you know, setting. Mm-hmm. So we're it's not personal, you
right.
know, and I think that we're also, because we've each been on the receiving end of it, we realize it's important to frame the criticism that we have of the other person's idea in a constructive way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it might be that Bill comes up with an idea and I say, you know, I think I'd like it more if you change those proportions.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that you don't we kind of have a saying between the two of us, love it for 10 minutes, which means that, like, you know what I mean? Like, don't make a snap judgment on it. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And and I think we, you know, we check our egos at the door in the sense that we each know, although it doesn't always feel that way, you know, when you're married, but we each know that the other person makes the quilt better.
Mm.
So that we'd be smart to listen to what the other person has to say because they will make it better. And that just changes everything when you think, like, oh, he's really going to help me with this and make it better.
Right.
And that's kind of the critical, that level of respect for your business partner, I think is, you know, is really, really pivotal.
It's vital. And we were recently looking at a collection of the work that we've done over the last decade or so. And I had photos of at least 150 designs, quilts that we've made, unique quilts. And out of those 150, no more than 5 were exclusively done by one of us.
Mm.
You know,
Interesting, yeah.
They were such collaboration that most of them I really can't remember where they came from, and we look at them and we can't even remember who made what because our craftsmanship is so interchangeable at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only thing that where one of us specifically does it is whoever starts quilting the quilt finishes it.
Ah.
Because you know that the quilting is kind of like handwriting.
Right. You can see it. Hey, we're going to take a little break, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll be right back after this break with Weeks Ringel and Bill Kern.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases,
storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am here talking to Weeks Ringel and Bill Kerr of the Modern Quilt Studio. So the two of you are regular contributors to American Patchwork and Quilting's family of magazines. You know,
yes,
it's just wonderful. You've also gone to events and given talks and on their behalf. And so I know that you're going to be featured in the upcoming April issue, with a little article on stash help. So,
it was so fun.
I'm jealous because this is one that Weeks got to do. And I just have to say working with APQ is always a delight. And so I was envious and she'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
Well,
tell me about that.
Well, it started off, I'm always really interested in Bill is too when he teaches, we're interested in what shop owners have to say about, because they're kind of, I don't want to call it on the front lines, but they have a wider exposure to quilters than we do, because they just see more people on a day-to-day basis. And I was having this wonderful conversation with Sharon Luring from Stitcher's Crossing in Madison, Wisconsin, and she wanted me to go up there and do a workshop. We've done many workshops at her store, and we're big fans of hers. And she said that she was concerned that she had customers who felt burdened by their stashes. And they would say things sometimes, and I'm sure you've heard this too, Pat, where people would say, like, I have no business buying this fabric. I have far too much fabric. And she, as a shop owner, she's very smart. And she said, I'm concerned that they're starting to have bad feelings about quilting or that their stashes have become a burden to them. And I would like, is there something you could teach them about how to use their stashes? And I started reviewing, comments that I had heard at shows and at guilds and that sort of thing. And we had, we were on the phone for a really long time talking about this. And I said, I think the thing is that sometimes people's stashes are filled with things that they bought 10, 20 years ago, and they bought 6 yards of it for the backing of a quilt, and then they decided not to use it for whatever reason. And now, they're just looking at it, and they've invested a lot of money in it, and they don't feel good about it, and it's taking up a lot of space. And then there are the things that, like, maybe they have that Civil War fabric, and now they're interested in making a modern quilt, and they don't really see the possibilities of how they can use that Civil War fabric, because in their mind, Civil War fabric has to be made into Civil War quilts, and so, I told Sharon, I think we need to have people bring their stashes and then have me show them how they can mix them and freshen them up, but then have a plan for how they can use that, all those fabrics that are in their stash, and then they'll feel good about quilting, and then they will be interested in more fabrics.
And I think one of the things that's really key is shops are always having stash buster classes, which is just basically come make this scrappy quilt, which doesn't teach you how to think about your stash. And
right.
Weeks is extremely articulate at looking at fabric and showing possibilities. And that's what led to this class and the article that's coming up.
Yeah, because so I saw Jennifer Keltner, who's one of my favorite people anywhere. She's such a delight. And she had spent a week with us at a design camp that we taught many years ago, so we know her quite well. And I was telling her what an incredible experience this was, and she said, let's do that. Let's do an article. So we had so much fun planning this. She went around to the folks, the staff at American Patchwork and Quilting and said, okay, give me those fabrics that you don't know how to use. The ones that you look at and you think, what on earth was I thinking, with that Cape Cod print I buy that I live in Des Moines, And so she brought, I think it was 40 pounds, she said, of fabric.
My.
and dumped them out on the table. Oh. And I think she was expecting me to take them one at a time. Mm-hmm. And I just grabbed like four or five of them straight away. And she was like, oh my gosh, it, like what?
Yeah.
And I wanted to show her how you can use that Civil War fabric with that, you know, that modern print or that really, you know, edgy kind of urban looking print and really combine things in unexpected ways and to look beyond genres. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't really plan it this way, but the way it kind of worked out was that within that group of those 40 pounds of fabrics, there were some themes that emerged, like, you know, the Route 66 fabric, you know,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Those kind of themey prints, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, that like, what do you do with those? What do you do with leftover Christmas fabric? What do you do with the super large prints, you know, those really big, bold graphic prints that have, you know, 20-inch repeats or something like that? How do you cut those into smaller pieces? And so it was just, we spent the entire day there shooting palette after palette after palette, and each one had different considerations, and we just had a really good time, and the staff and the store was coming around and asking questions, and it was one of those things that I wish we'd had it on video, because it was just, it was so exciting.
But it's going to be an amazing article in the April issue.
Did you see it?
No, not yet, but...
Well, all I can say is when you get the talents at American Patchwork and Quilting, they will make the readers feel like they're there and do a great job capturing those discussions. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what we love as teachers is when either the readers or our students leave with the ability to have questions and little Q&A sessions in their own heads, that they will read this and go back, I hope, with a renewed excitement about their own stashes.
Yeah, and I think that's what was really exciting, is watching Jennifer's excitement at, you know, when she pulled out these fabrics, and she was like, I mean, I was going around the store, and she said, I have all of these fabrics. Mm-hmm. I could have made a quilt with that 10 years ago.
Right.
But she just hadn't thought about that fabric in that context.
Right, and I think that's what's really incredible about both of you, the two of you, that since I've known you, is that you aren't sort of locked in. You're always very exploratory in how you look at things. That, you know, Bill, why don't we let you tell us a little bit about your books? Because what you two have done is in your books and in your magazine that you produce, you've taken a lot of these exploratory thoughts and shared them.
And it's really fun, because I think in the world of quilting is one of passing on knowledge and building knowledge. And so we find that in our books, we're such geeks. I mean, we have these big wall charts as we're working on books about all the different ideas and concepts that we want to get out, and how can we fill the book and make it just rich with content. And when we started Modern Quilts Illustrated magazine, that was a very new kind of exploration, because what we could do there is reimagine how directions are done. That for so many years, there's been kind of a format in the quilting world of how directions are done. They're text-based with illustrations, and we wanted to flip that on its head and have directions that were illustration-based with just small supporting text, and see how readers would use that. It kind of opens up new possibilities in their heads. And so I think that writing books, doing the magazines, they're a blast. I mean, it's just opportunity.
Well, I should also jump in and say that it's really only possible because Bill is the chairman of the art department at Dominican University, and he's a professor of graphic design. So he is really great in understanding how to deliver information. And, you know, so he's coming at it from a graphic design perspective more than, you know, a writing perspective.
Right.
And so it enables us, you know, it's just the overlap of our skill set is, you know, allows us to do that.
And then the one book I'm was glancing through the other day was the Transparency Cool.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I thought that was really exciting about, you know, you have so many fabulous examples in there about how to create this look with real-life fabrics. I mean, not just words. It's awesome.
Yeah. What we always love to do in both our books and in the magazine is and actually we do it a lot in American Patchwork and Quilting too, where we've done and even in the Stash RX that feature, what worked, what didn't work, and why.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is the really important thing for quilters to understand, is because you can show them a beautiful quilt, but if you don't show them what didn't work, you know, and what you pulled out, then they can't necessarily replicate the concept or the design thinking behind it.
I always use the analogy of, if you're giving directions to a place in the country and you say, if you've gone past the red barn, you've gone too far. And that's the same thing with quilting. It's great to have the what didn't work and why.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if this didn't work, go back and try a different, you know, take a right at the earlier street.
Right. And I want to get two things in. We only have like a minute and a half. But one is the upcoming. Your daughter, Sophie, has collaborated with you on a book, which is so exciting.
Adorable.
Yeah. And you're going to come on and talk to us about that, what is closer to being published. And then you also have a fabric line with Andover. Tell us what your fabric line looks like.
Well, we just actually turned in the third fabric line with Andover today.
Mm-hmm.
But in every line is going to be very different. First line, go ahead, Bill.
Line is called Victorian Modern. And one of the things we're trying to get people to realize is modern quilts don't necessarily mean bright, loud, in-your-face fabrics. You can make a modern quilt from any fabric. So this is kind of looking at icons of Victorian life and freshening them up. And so there's ironwork, there are peacock feathers, there are beautiful dahlias and trellises. But then the next line is called Passport, and it's kind of a journey around the world through fabric traditions.
Mm.
And so it's every line we want to be a different experience, but have the lines be able to work together. And so we have a variety of scales and a variety of prints, and typically they're hand drawn motifs. So they're then collaged in a way that is a little bit different, but you can still see the presence of the hand.
And
Weeks and Bill, we're out of time, and this has been so fantastic.
Well, thank you for
thank you for inviting us, Pat, and we're counting on you for some modern applique.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll talk. And
okay.
Everybody visit Weeks and Bill at modernquiltstudio.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com. You can visit me at patsloan.com.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for